And let's get some perspective now on yesterday's Supreme Court ruling that college athletes can get unlimited compensation with benefits related to their education, things like grad school scholarships and paid internships. Our next guest says the ruling will only intensify what he calls the unsustainable spending arms race in college sports. Tom McMillan is CEO of Lead One Association. It's a group that represents athletic departments at many of the biggest schools in the country. He's a former NBA player and a former U.S. congressman from Maryland. He's on Skype. Tom, welcome.
Good to be with you.
And first of all, why do you disagree with yesterday's Supreme Court decision that would allow some compensation to student athletes?
It's not that I disagree. Listen, I think educational expenses should be covered. The question will be in the details. When they say unlimited, what does that mean? Is that a $100,000 postgraduate internship, you know, pay for medical school, law school for all your family? We just don't know the sort of the definitions yet. Listen, it's inevitable that student athletes are going to bargain for more rights, particularly when the management side is taking extraordinary salaries. Coaches make lots of money. And this day was inevitably going to come. I wrote about it when I was in Congress back in the 90s in my book, Out of Bounds. I said, if you don't slow down the arms race on the enterprise side, expect an arms race for student athletes. And that's what
Let's stop there. What is this arms race exactly that you're talking about? And how does this ruling make it worse or could make it worse?
You know, in the last 3 years, there's been $300 million of buyouts of coaches who failed, who literally fired. It's the tremendous cost of facility growth across our campuses. Coaches are generally the highest paid employee in a state. It's the whole idea that there's no real way to control cost in college sports. Like the NBA and the NFL, they have mechanisms to restrain spending. We do not have that in college sports. So without that, you're going to see an arms race on the student athlete side.
Well, I want to talk about the potential solutions here in just a moment. But first, I know you're well aware of the argument that the athletes are making, that schools are making billions of dollars off of them. Some come from low-income families. Here's Ramogi Humah, a former football player for UCLA, now with the National College Players Association, speaking to NPR's Morning Edition today. He was describing what happened to a former teammate of his. Let's listen.
Someone left groceries anonymously on his doorstep, and the NCAA punished him. They suspended him. He didn't even know the groceries were left on his doorstep. Didn't know that his roommate had taken the groceries in, but it didn't matter to the NCAA. But he was from a low-income background. They're selling his jersey in the store. And the NCAA says, well, we'd rather have you hungry than to have any groceries because of our rules.
So I just wonder if you can sympathize with the argument that the athletes here are making, that the schools are getting paid. And in some cases, you know, they can't even feed themselves.
I'm totally understand Ramogi's point, and I understand where the student athlete's coming from. Without curtailment on the business side, you are going to have this demand for rights for student athletes, and rightfully so. Even our athletic directors understand that point. What I'm trying to say is look down the road 10 years from now. Is it doubling down and giving student athletes market-based compensation, which is where we're heading, or is it curtail some of the excesses? Have Congress give college sports tools so they can control costs? And so what our athletic directors want, 96% of them surveyed said this, is they would love to have some way to constrain costs. And by the way, I am the first to defend student athletes' rights to bargain and to have a fair shake. But the reason why this has happened is because the whole enterprise has gotten out of control.
I mean, let's be specific about what some of those controls might look like. I mean, as you know, Congress hasn't gotten very far on legislation that would allow athletes to make money off of their fame, their name, their image, their likeness. Six states have already come up with laws that are coming into effect on July 1st on that issue. The NCAA is scrambling to come up with national guidelines. I mean, tell me more what a specific policy prescription would look like from Congress. I mean,
it's a very good question. A good part of it has to be enhancing the student-athlete benefits, making sure they're better protected on health care and safety and all those things. You know, letting them have name, image, and likeness rights. Those are things that should be done. and are slowly being done, but I understand the impatience is not being done fast enough. On the other side of the coin, the conferences, the college football playoff, and the NCAA, they distribute $4 billion a year to their schools. With that money, they can make college sports look like whatever they want it to look like. The point is that the college sports is so fragmented, the leadership is so fragmented, that they can't come together on sensible ideas to make college sports look like higher education, be congruent with higher education, and take care of student athletes at the same time. And the fact of the matter is, the whole enterprise really is at fault.
Tom McMillan is CEO of Lead One Association, represents athletic departments of the top football programs in the United States, also a former congressman and NBA player. Mr. McMillan, thank you so much.
Thank you.